creators. Welcome to the Money in XXX podcast, the podcast for creators by creators. We are brought to you by Minx Digital. Check us out for all your creator course and marketing services needs. Our website is minxdigital.com. That is with three X's, minxxxdigital.com. And follow us on all of our social channels at Minx Social, spelled M-I-N-X Social. I am your host, Violet Winter, and today we are joined by my co-host, Stella Sky. Hi, everyone. It is me, Violet Winter, and I am with Miss Stella Sky.
Hi.
Welcome to another episode of our podcast. Today, I'm going to be interviewing Stella about her journey.
Shoe on the other foot.
So welcome. To start, could you share a little bit about yourself and your entry into the world of adult content creation?
Okay. Let's see. We have to start at the beginning. So the very, very beginning of me getting into sex work, excuse me, started all the way back when I was in college, like 2011 or something like that. And I don't know who told me. I used to hang out on these like degenerate chat rooms. And I think somebody on there told me about my free cams. And so I had my free cams and my screen name was Pink Petals. And that was okay. I had no idea how to work it. I was totally just winging it back then. I didn't know anything about, I mean, I'm sure maybe they had tip menus at that point. I didn't know anything like that. And then I stopped doing it when I graduated, and fast forward to 10 years later, I was working and, one of my coworkers was telling me about how he and his wife had started doing Chatterbait and they were making a little extra money, and the job I was working at was not paying me well. And I was like, well, I could use a couple extra $100, and I've done that before and I liked it. Like, I did not have a bad experience. So let me give it a shot. And I made a Chatterbait, and yeah, I liked it. I made an OnlyFans also following that. And I was just clueless. I didn't know anything about those things at that point. And what did I even, yeah, my OnlyFans kind of really struggled the first 2 months. It was very low. I was not properly funneling from my Chatterbait. Chatterbait did okay, but I just don't have the schedule to do regular streaming. Like, I understand that's a very important part, is people want to know when to expect you on. You know, every Wednesday I watch Violet, you know, at mm-hmm. when I get home from work, and then they come home from work one day and Violet's not there. Like, so now they're going to go somewhere else. Right. So I'm too sporadic. OnlyFans is definitely a platform that works a little bit better for me, because I can plan ahead of time and have things like set out basically. But I keep live streaming in the back of my mind for sure as something that I want to utilize in some way at some point. But yeah, it was basically a friend told me. And I was like, huh, I used to do that. So let me try doing it again. And, you know, I've always, this is going to be a weird story. I'll just get into a weird woo-woo thing.
Yeah.
So forever and ever ago, when I was like 11 or something, I did this, like, this is so woo-woo. I did like a vision journey thing. And it was, you were supposed to like meet your spirit animal, right? And I'm like 11, and the animal that I see was a white elk in my vision. And you know, then after they're having us say what animal you saw and they're interpreting it. Ooh. And I said white elk, and the guy was like, oh, that's male sexual energy. And oh! I was 11. I was like, what the fuck? I was like, what the fuck? What are Damn. You saying to me right now? But full circle, you know, in my 30s now, I'm like, I do kind of feel like
yeah,
there's something in back. Me that has always been flirty and like teasy, and being able to like harness that and make money off of it, basically like harness that energy and make money off of it and put it out into a productive way. That is like the thing that drives me with adult content creation. It's not forced.
That's lovely. Yeah. Good. Yeah, it definitely is good on the mind when it's not a forced thing. It's something that's kind of innate. And you can harness that and make that money, which is the beautiful thing of sex work. And then what motivated you to explore further platforms like TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that?
It was marketing guru Jeff, Jeff that works with us here. Yes, we love Jeff. He told me I needed to get on TikTok. I had an Instagram again. I wasn't fully utilizing the Instagram well. I'm not even sure if I had my link in bio when I first started. It was that bad, guys. And he told me to do TikTok, and I was like, I hate making stupid videos. I feel really silly. And he's like, it doesn't matter. Make the silly video. And I listened, and I did make the silly videos. And I it was just like dance trends, things like that. I'm not even a good dancer, truthfully. It's really like A for effort and like, oh, well, like she's kind of cute too, and she's got like a butt. So
yeah.
I just kept throwing myself at that TikTok wall, and that is what changed things for me, is being consistent and posting on TikTok. That got me views, and then also teaching me how to sales funnel from TikTok, which I'm sure a lot of people maybe is more common knowledge, that you take people from TikTok, you put them to your Instagram and get them to your OnlyFans that way. But that's what got me really started in terms of being successful. And then I still utilize it all the time. Now I do TikTok lives daily. I still make TikToks. I don't feel as pressured to crank them out as much. Now that I've got a following, I think they're okay waiting, 24 hours or 48 hours until the next video. When you first get started, definitely, and secondary accounts, definitely be posting those two a day or at least. But what I was saying was, now I still utilize TikTok very much. I've switched it over more to lives, and I do daily lives, and the response is great. Without fail, I get minimum 2 followers at minimum on my OnlyFans. But some days I've gotten like 12. And this is from like an hour of me hanging out on TikTok. And it's just me drinking coffee. And I can't even talk about being naked on TikTok. Like, TikTok is so scary. I am so scared of TikTok. It does terrify me. Like, I'm very, very careful about what I say, what I type. Like, I think about it, because it has happened. I have been banned several times, but because I keep it clean, when I appeal, I win my appeal so far.
Knock on wood.
but it's been a really useful tool. And then Instagram is something that I've been able to utilize more lately. I have my formula for Instagram posting, but I've discovered some new things about, like, it's really, the stories are really important on Instagram, going live on Instagram. I kind of discounted it at first, because I was like, you only go live to the people that follow you, and I want to gain people outside of my following. But what it does is it puts your little face right at the top if you're live. So like when you go on Instagram, so you go on Instagram and you got all your people, right? And then the people that are showing up, these people that are showing up first, like it'll boost a live to the very front of the stories. And then the more people look at your stories and look at your lives, the further up on the little list that you show. So if you look at somebody all the time, it'll put you up there. I'm just spilling all the tea right now.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, that's something I've definitely been encouraged heavily by Jeff, and I've been watching your socials, because I've been trying to foray my career into those two things. And it's been fun, but it's definitely stuff that I've been on social media for so long, and it's things that I'm not even familiar with. Like, how the hell do I edit on TikTok? I'm figuring it out. It takes some time, but
yes, it does.
It'll get there.
There are learning curves, yes.
Absolutely. And then for those intrigued by your journey, could you discuss how you've managed to maintain a consistent and authentic brand presence while adapting to the unique characteristics of each platform?
You know, I'm me. I am a very like bubbly person when I'm in my element and I'm happy. So I make sure that that comes across into my platforms. Definitely when I kind of hint when I'm on Instagram or TikTok or these like PG-13 type apps, anything that's not my OnlyFans, you know, like it's a little like tongue in cheek, wink, wink, like, haha, my booty. But so that kind of like flirty presence is there. The difference would be like on my OnlyFans where I'm interacting with people, like the flirtiness goes full blown, like, especially if you are, you know, you're tipping or anything like that, like I will interact with you if you're a paying customer. If you're in there on a free trial and you're trying to get me to sext with you for an hour, it's not gonna happen. It sounds so silly and repetitive to say just be yourself. Mm-hmm. But it really is like if you were, I'll say this same thing, but said backwards. Don't fake it. Don't fake your personality. You know, if you're pretending to be somebody else on one of these platforms, there's going to come a time that you're not able to like call forth this fake persona. You're not going to feel like putting on this fake persona. You know, it has to have this genuine nature to it on what you're bringing to your audience. And that will keep it consistent across all of your platforms. If it's something genuine to you, if it's something that you're faking, it might be difficult to express that. That was a problem one of my friends had. She originally kind of chose this persona, and it was out of necessity because of choosing a name. It came from the name choice, interestingly enough. And she just did not feel like this persona was her. Like she felt like the person that she was on her OnlyFans and that she was putting out was like really like elegant and like she could not be silly and be herself. Like she was a silly person. And the same would go in reverse. If you're like an elegant person naturally, like some people just are that way. Like my sister is that way. Like some people are that way. You just have this air about you. Like don't try and be the silly, funny person. It's going to be strange. So, and you're not going to feel like doing it. That it kept my friend from making content because she was like, I just don't feel like I can bring this out right now. So to thine own heart be true.
Absolutely. It kind of like goes back to the whole white elk. I don't know. It's like if it's innately in you, if you feel that within yourself, if you feel whatever you want to focus on with this job, like go for it. But it's not going to be like an easy thing if you're just doing it because it's quote unquote lucrative, which it is not when you're starting out. Like no, you have to have that drive.
Big misconception.
In you.
Yeah. Full disclosure. I think my OnlyFans made $6 its first month. Granted, I did not have any marketing tactics in place. but I feel like that is what people can expect. The average user makes like $100 or something like that, you know? Mm-hmm. The sea is vast on OnlyFans.
Very vast. And it's hard to find, like most people find girls as OnlyFans, not on OnlyFans. There's not a good search thing for OnlyFans. The internal traffic is not there. So you're not going to suddenly start raking in followers and money.
And that's why it is so important to have those social media platforms at the very least to be able to find people. Like this happened to me recently. A fan in my DMs was like, hey, this girl that I know has an OnlyFans. He said he wasn't going to subscribe to her. What did he say? But I was like, oh, so he, he was telling me, like, this girl that he knows has an OnlyFans, and I went, oh, like, send me the link, right? Like, send me – I asked for the Instagram out of curiosity, and there was – by looking at her Instagram, I would have no idea she did OnlyFans. Like, I was like, so how do you expect to get people to your OnlyFans if you – how will they find you? So, yeah, it's – she's new to it. I think that's why he was bringing it up. He was saying, like, she wanted me to subscribe because she just made it and it had no content on it yet and there was no funnel. So I offered. I said, you can give her my contact and I'm happy to, like, help her a little bit. But –
I get that a lot too. People just, like, they say they have one and they don't actually do anything with it.
I've got a friend like that, actually. Now that I think of it, I have another friend that she has an OnlyFans, but you would never know unless you asked her or she told you. Like, mm-hmm. It's not public information. Or very hard to find.
Yeah, and it's like, good for them if they can keep it that private, but I don't know. It's like, if you're not proud of it, if you want to keep it, no, exactly.
Right.
If you're like, I'm very proud of what I do, so I'm going to shout it from the rooftops to people. Obviously, as long as they're not going to be creepy about it, but it's like, I tell people because they would probably find out because I do have a presence. So,
yeah,
that's inevitable.
That's started to happen at the. A year in, I got recognized in the wild in public, and I was like, oh,
this is real. This is real.
Yeah. All right. I don't know if it's a fluke or what, but be prepared. If you do well, you will be recognized.
Yes. Next thing, what insights can you provide for content creators to create captivating content while adhering to the guidelines of platforms like TikTok and Instagram?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, first of all, know your TOS, know your terms of service. Don't get caught off guard. That's not what you want to happen. So give those a look over, or, like, you know, you can Google, find on Reddit some basic lists that tell you what can and cannot be posted. But yeah, obviously it can't be nudity. Instagram even, like, is pretty on it about, like, if you're even posting pictures, like, in your underwear, like a thong underwear. I've got friends that are photographers that have had posts removed. I've had a post removed where I was in underwear and I was topless, but I was turned around. So all you could see was my butt cheeks and my back. But they Instagram straight up removed it. And I don't know if I'm sure there's something going on, because I will obviously see nipples on Instagram. I see big million follower verified people post their nipples that I can see through a shirt. So until you have a million followers and you're verified and you know people inside of Instagram, make sure that you're not doing that stuff. Yeah. I mean, the best thing, right? You're going to be able to show people that explicit stuff on the OnlyFans anyway. So if you are just teasing it, like, that is kind of the whole point of the social media. Like, you want people to want to see more. Granted, there are some things that are kinks, I'll say, that are technically safe for work, that you can utilize in your post if you want to be one of these individuals. I see this a lot with the Dommy Mommies. Their social media posts, they're able to capitalize that on that because they are fully clothed and wearing high heels, and they'll usually put the camera on the ground so it's at an angle.
Yes.
You know, have you seen the ones where it's like, like stepping on the camera or something like that? You know, and that's a great way. Like, that's an excellent example of how to be safe for work, be TikTok safe, be Instagram safe, and be able to post that and post it and have it go to your audience, right? Because you know who that's going to. Yeah, I think that's great. You know, find some cute clothes that are not super duper revealing. Yeah,
just a little bit of cleavage. Nothing too.
Gosh, if you have boobs, you are so blessed. Like, I'm so jealous, Violet, because for me, it's so, I feel like it's so awkward to show off my butt tastefully. Like, there's only one way to do it, which is the obvious way. And boobies, I feel like you can just be like, oh, was that there? I was just talking to the camera.
Yeah.
So do note, if you have boobs, creators, you can pretty much just talk into the camera and that's, you know, it. Bounce a little bit and you'll do great. For the booty creators like me, unfortunately, we are going to have to do dance trends and things that are going to make you turn around. make sure, I mean, workout videos are a great way to do that. You know, feet stuff. Like, have you seen the one? There's like a trend on TikTok for spicy creator. It's like an exclusive spicy creator trend, but they take off their shoes and then they take off their socks and then they like start to do the dance, but then the video cuts and the video is about it. The video is not about the dance. The video is about the taking off the shoes and the socks. So that's kind of like a little wink, wink, like people.
Sneaky.
Right. Yeah. Cause those feet guys, they're going to see that and latch onto it for sure.
Absolutely. And, speaking of TikTok, what are some key techniques that you found for effectively capturing and retaining your viewers? Biggest thing is retaining, for sure. But as we just talked about, kind of like things that are very obviously adult content but are not, what has seemed to work for you the best personally? So definitely the dance.
The dance.
Do you want to share on the dance?
Okay.
How was that experience?
Yeah, this dance has become the plague upon my life because I both myself and my boyfriend are like traumatized by this song because we've heard it so many times now, so many times. And this is interesting because it kind of had a bell curve. So there was like my initial post with the dance. That one started doing really well. It did. It was getting like 13,000 views, which was a lot more than what I was getting at that point. It was most of my, I think maybe like 1,000 was the most I had on something at that point. And so I noticed, I was like, wow, this one is doing like really well. And so I made another of the exact same dance and song, but same song and dance, but I did it somewhere else in a different place. And this is, you know, everybody should be doing this. Just if something works and does well, keep doing it. So I kept doing it. And then it turned out like the third or the fourth time I posted it, like the other ones were blowing up in my opinion. And then it blew, and then it really blew up and went into the millions. And I was like, whoa. So then kept posting the dance. Now it started to, that bell curve started to come back down. Mm-hmm. Started getting less views. And people were so tired of seeing the dance that they started reporting my account. And my account got banned. Got the account back because I had kept it clean. Okay, kept it clean. So I appealed the ban, got it back. There will come a point where people are annoyed with you doing the same thing over and over. So then I was like, okay, I have to move on from the dance now, right? But because the dance is what people know me as, maybe every few weeks, I'll do it now if I'm in an interesting location. Like if I go somewhere new, I'll do it at that location, but I will do the dance, the WAP dance. And they always do well. So if there becomes something that you become known for, like I think I sent you the girl, the Spoopy Beans girl, and she has become known for Frog Friday. Every Friday, she posts a video in her frog suit. People know what to expect. It becomes a meme on her page. It becomes an in the know thing. If there's something that does well, you know, just keep doing it. Ride it until those wheels fall off. For sure.
With it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a horny audience coming in. You know, we know why they're there,
they
keep going back, replaying. That we know what they're doing. Yep. Adding that to their favorites. All of it. That's something I've noticed. So when it comes to Instagram, you've already talked about how stories and lives work with it. Is there anything else that you would recommend to maximize engagement on Instagram?
Yes, I would, because I look back and I pay attention to my analytics and I kind of see what the type of content it is and then how it's performing versus other types of content. And maybe it's a surprise. It's not really a surprise to me, but video content does well and above, much better than static content. So I don't feel the pressure to post necessarily like tons of still photos. I'll post maybe like one carousel, one still photo a week. But the rest is going to be reels. Most of them actually are even my TikToks that get automatically uploaded to my Instagram. There are some, especially like lately, I've been doing stuff with a gun range. I can't post that on TikTok. So again, going back to like know your terms of service, I can't even say the word gun or talk about guns on TikTok. So if I have content where I'm at the shooting range, that goes onto Instagram and Instagram only because I can't actually use it on TikTok. But yeah, make use of videos. Just having like a pretty feed, not that important. Mm-hmm. Not that important. It's more about having reels and that you're active, that you're active, that your stories, people are not going to look through their feed or granted even your feed that often. What pops up, they find something interesting, they move on, but they're not going to go to your page and look at how aesthetic it is, you know?
Exactly. Especially with reels, it's endless. The algorithm, like they're finding you through that.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's basically, it's a TikTok for you page. That's what they did. They went and created that. So yeah, don't get caught up in trying to like make the perfect aesthetic feed, looking feed. That's honestly should be very low on your priority list. Like you can have it if you want, but please don't make it a priority.
Amazing. Love it. Then to continue the online landscape, privacy, what advice can you share for content creators looking to maintain a balance between public and personal?
Yeah. Privacy concerns for sure. Well, I mean, it's been interesting because at this point also like there's a lot of creators that I know in real life too. So there is some crossover and you will have to decide when you're meeting people in real life. If you want them to go by your stage name, like, do you just want to be 100% your stage name? Do you want people to know your real name? That's definitely a personal decision up to you. For me, it really depends. For me, I feel like both my names are me, like Stella still feels very me. Authentically me. So I actually don't mind people calling me Stella in my real life. And then of course, like this is something like when you were here hanging out, right? Like it's something to think about if you're with another creator, if you guys are recording content or somebody's making an Instagram story. Oh my God. There was totally a funny moment at one of my girlfriend's birthday party and she is an OnlyFans creator and she's a dancer and we were singing her happy birthday and we went, happy birthday, dear. And none of us knew what to say because it was recording for Instagram, I think. And then like as the words were coming out of my mouth, I was like, oh shit, like I don't want to like out her. I don't want to out her right now to her people. So keep that in mind. Keep it in mind when there is a camera on, when a camera is not on, the things that you are saying. And I don't share I share my city because I live in Las Vegas and there's a lot of adult creators in Las Vegas. I would kind of feel the same way if I lived in LA. Like I wouldn't mind saying I lived in LA or I lived in New York because they are so large, population dense, or like here there are so many big mainstream porn stars that live here and people know that they live here, that I was not concerned about that. I was like, oh, they're doing it. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel okay doing it.
Large
I feel
like place. I'm going to be found. And yeah. AVN Expo. There's a lot of studios. Yeah.
It's just a location that I didn't feel like bad about disclosing. The other thing is making sure that, you know, if you're having like a lot of personal stressful stuff going on, like don't bring that to your any of your Instagram, your TikTok, Don't put it on your Instagram story, your Facebook story about that stuff, because that can be leveraged against you. People can use that stuff against you. Save that information for later. Like if you had a fight with your husband or something and then you're posting about it using like your Twitter, like your personal diary, like I would say that's a big no-no. Like keep that stuff private. And to your friends that are, you know, your personal friends that you know, you don't want to put out that like, oh, potentially like, you know, they're in emotional distress and this would be a great time for me to, you know, swoop in or something like that.
Save them.
Yeah. Like Captain Save-A-Hoe is going to see that, and take it the wrong way. You know, they're not going to say, let me tip you. They're going to be like, let me fly you out or something.
Manipulate. I see that a lot with creators and like them tweeting out things where I'm like, why are you tweeting out? Or like a big thing is like, we both don't have kids, but I see people like tweet on their porn Twitters about their kids. Like not pictures, but just saying they have kids. And I'm like, that's like, shouldn't that just be very private? Shouldn't that be something to share?
This was just a huge piece of controversy. Did you see the Lena the Plug posting videos on TikTok of her and Adam and their child?
No.
Yes. So they have a family TikTok, you know, that's separate from her sex work stuff, and where they post videos of their kids. And I mean, just knowing what I know about the internet. If I had kids, my kids would not exist on the internet.
Me neither. Because
people are saving pictures. They're real icky with it. So to be big and famous and to have your kids out there, that is something I personally would not do. But yeah, it was a lot of controversy. I mean, that's something to think of. You know, neither of us are kids, so it's funny we're talking about it. But you can consider this with anything that you post, not just kids. Kids can't consent because they are minors. So you can't, I think it's wrong to be posting them on the internet. I don't think that's right. But keep in mind also your friends might not consent to be in your stories. Keep in mind the people around you, where you are when you're posting stuff. People are always asking me to record content or just film or go live, like not even not safe for work, but safe for work. They want me to do stuff where I'm in the gym. And I always tell them, you know, there are other people in the gym and I want to be respectful. This is a space for them to work out too. And I don't want to have somebody show up somewhere that they don't want to show up, that they're not interested in. Maybe they don't want the whole world knowing that they go to the gym. But
yeah,
just consider your surroundings. Consider that, you know, not everyone has the best intentions for you. People can get very manipulative, especially not to, I know you're good at chatter, you're a chatterbait queen, but I found chatterbait, especially when I was new, there were so many people coming into my messages, very, very predatory people.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And telling you like, oh, if you want more tokens, like you should be doing this or you should be doing this. And all the girls do this and they come in and they act like they're an expert and just shut that stuff down. Like,
yeah, it's not worth it. It's all the block button exists. Doesn't matter how many tokens they have.
Oh my
if they're
God.
An asshole, if they're an energy vampire and take away from your vibe and just make you feel like shit, block them.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Utilize. I do that in my live all the time. Mm-hmm. If people, because I don't want to risk my account. So if people start getting a little too zesty in there, you know, and they say something like, I'm going to finish, I'll announce to them. I'll go, we don't do that here. That's really inappropriate. Mm-hmm. I'm banning you now. And I ban them off the live. Or if they're being really annoying and repetitive, I'll mute them and I'll tell them, you know, why don't you take a 5-minute break? Funny story. I had one of my fans on OnlyFans told me the reason he liked me and found me and followed me was because I banned him out of my life. He was like, I liked that you did that. I thought that was gutsy. And I was like, okay, well,
Fair enough.
You're here now. So you knew what was up. Like you, I always tell, I'm like, you know, that this is not the place for that. And I'm like, goodbye, sir.
Goodbye. That's that kind of forays into the idea of creative marketing. Because some people, like, they like that, and just the most random stuff works on the most random people. But when it comes to promoting your content, what attracts a wider audience? What have you noticed, like, is the best net to catch people in your niche?
The best net for catching people. Net. Yeah, I mean, that's tough.
It's a large question.
Cause I feel like there's two kind of prongs to this. I feel like one thing that has been extremely successful is networking with other people and having other people, mention you or, making content with other creators. I've made content with a few other girls, and you guys get to cross promote each other if you're in a similar niche, especially. So like if you were to do a collab with another goth girl, if I were to do a collab with another fit chick, that would potentially have crossover with our fan base and increase following. If you're going to, you know, and this would go for like, if you're going to buy promotion, you know, don't buy somebody's promotion who's totally opposite of you. But I have found that actually having that sex worker network of people that I interact and follow genuinely, not a fake follow, but like we follow each other. People will see that too if they click and look at who you're following.
Yeah.
But as far as like casting that wide net to capture more people, for me, it's been utilizing those live features. That's had a lot of success because people like that interactivity. It's in the moment. But just as well, it grabs the attention of people in a different way than static content does. I think live is kind of like the top tier. And then video content is under that, picture content under that. And to consider where you're going to spend your time, I don't know that anyone should say absolute no to doing any kind of live. It doesn't mean you have to do a Chatterbait live. Whether you're doing Instagram or TikTok, people get to see that you're a real person. They get to know your personality. And I think the first one, getting to know that you're a real person, because that is a concern for a lot of subscribers. It's like, yeah, are you a real person? Are you an agency? So being able to see you in real time does so much for that. If people are aware that you are really you, that is going to make them want to subscribe 10 times more than just being hot. You know, it goes beyond and you don't even have to be hot. Like, oh my gosh, like, not that I want to say that about anybody, but I'm sure you've seen like on the OnlyFans advice, they have like the pinned post at the top and it's like, can I do an OnlyFans if I'm hairy, fat, have 8 legs? And they're like, cause they're so tired of hearing this question, because it's not about how you look. It's about who you are.
Exactly.
And lives are the best tool for showing that off.
It's so true. And everyone is into someone. Like, everyone's going to just happen. Like, it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter what you're insecure about. These men don't care. If they like your personality, and maybe you look like an ex-girlfriend of theirs, maybe you look like someone that they find very attractive, they're like, whoa, I want that girl. Like, you don't have to fall into the beauty standards of what you think the beauty standards are. It does not exist in porn. And you could start at any age too. That's a big one that I think a lot of people are concerned about. You don't have to start
any
at 18.
Age above 18. Cool.
As long as it's 18 and plus, whatever. But do you have to start at that age? Nope.
No. Absolutely. And I wouldn't even recommend it to people. I think that's either a bad time to get started. You'll get a lot of attention for the wrong reasons.
The wrong people will come to you for sure. I totally agree with you on the lives and all of that. Like, that's what I do on Chatterbait for most of my job. It's just about drawing people in, and no matter what way, people love a live stream. That's why Twitch is so popular. Like, it's just, that's how it is these days. People want to see that.
Yeah.
Amazing. And then last question. What is some advice you have for aspiring adult content creators that want to follow a similar path to yours? And then also, how can they harness the power of social media, which we've kind of already done, but how can that all tie together?
Yeah, tying it all together. I think I'll keep it sweet and simple, tying it all together, and my best advice, which is the advice that I have to constantly be giving myself, is, you know, don't fret about it being perfect. Oops, don't fret about it being perfect. Just make it. Because if it's sitting in your head, literally no one will see it. And that'll just be you thinking about like, what a cool idea this could be, but I don't have, you know, this, I don't have this to do it. Like, please just make the content. do the thing. Cause that is the only time that it will count, and you can always improve and change later, right? No one's going to shame you or put you down for having a journey where you started somewhere and you ended up somewhere else. That's literally all of us, you know? And if they do, block them. Goodbye. But, yeah. You know, yeah, don't let perfectionism be the death of you before you even get started. Just do the thing. Make the content, take the picture.
Incredible
post,
advice.
Post a tweet. Do it. You can do another one later.
That's so true. I even needed to hear that so bad, because that's so true. People just want to see you. Like, yes. It doesn't have to be perfect in your eye. We are our biggest critics. Like, yes. That's how it is at the end of the day. And people just want to see a pretty girl.
They want to see a pretty girl. And just remember how short-lived a lot of these things are. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody – so rare. Somebody is scrolling all the way back through your TikTok, scrolling all the way back through your Instagram, right? And if they're doing that, it's because they're obsessed with you, right? The longevity of these things that we are fretting about, that if you're like, oh my gosh, I could never make this TikTok, or this is way too silly to post and it's sitting in your drafts. Well, guess what? People are only going to look at it for 5 seconds and then they're going to move on. And then eventually it's going to stop being pushed forward by the algorithm and not show up, you know, in anyone's For You page. Like, the longevity of the things that you're worried about, no one's asking you to carve your silly little dance into stone. They're not. They're just asking you to make a 15-second temporary video in the internet world that they can look at for 5 seconds and favorite and never look at again.
Yeah. just put you in their mind. That's it.
Yes.
Like, oh, she exists.
Stay top of mind. Keep yourself top of mind for people by producing. Don't be stuck in here. Produce your content. Don't be stuck in your head. Produce your content. That way people can see it and react to it. And then you can also refine your craft, right? Because if you don't post it, you're never going to get the feedback. You're never going to get the response. How do I know videos do better than photos? Well, because I post both of them and then I look at them later and I see what's performing well. How do I know what videos to make? I make them and then I look at what's performing well and I make more of those.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. But you'll never get that information. You'll never get that feedback if you don't post it in the first place. You have to do that step.
Throw stuff at a wall and see what sticks.
Yes.
That's the biggest thing, I think, too. Sex work journeys. But wonderful.
Yay.
Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your experience.
Absolutely.
Always a lovely
time to talk to you.
Do
that. Yes.
But yeah, so... Stay tuned for more podcast episodes. If you enjoyed this one, make sure to follow us on Minx Social, M-I-N-X Social. And that's kind of the gist of it.
Yes, excellent. And check us out on Minx Digital, M-I-N-X-X-X digital.com. Thanks for listening to the Money in XX podcast. We're your hosts, your guests.
Both.
And we'll see you next time, guys.